It's time to roll out our midweek leadoff guy, doing his thing these days for USA Today. Pick up a copy of the publication. He'll be in the red section online, usatoday.com. You can follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. George, a very good Wednesday to you. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Same to you.
You know, I always feel like when college football starts, you rarely get a chance to come up for air. And now we're kind of at that point where the bowls don't begin. So it's kind of a bit of a lull. So let's go back to last weekend, the Heisman, which for almost all season belonged to Tua Tagovailoa, then ended in Kyler Murray's hands. So did the voters do well waiting until the very end? And were you surprised by either the outcome or the fact that it was lopsided in Murray's favor?
Yeah, well, let me just say this. I think the voters always do well by waiting the very end, regardless of who they pick.
And, right.
And frankly, if you don't wait to the very end, you have your vote taken away from you. There's no excuse in this day of voting online, which is how it's done. I'm happy to be a voter, and it's cool to be one. But back in the day, they sent you a ballot that you were supposed to turn in through, like, overnight delivery. And in that case, I can understand why a few people would have done it before championship weekend. Now there's no excuse for not waiting. And I think, you know, 11 or 12%, as usual, voted ahead of time before conference championship weekend. Look, I was not surprised, I think, after what we saw happen on championship weekend, that Kyler Murray won it. I think he'd been closing. If you look at the various surveys that, you know, USA Today does one, The Athletic does one, ESPN does one, of their voters, which when you put them all three together is a decent subset of the 900 voters. There's probably 50 or 60 all told in those three surveys, maybe a few more. And those had shown Kyler Murray closing, the race getting tighter over the last two or three weeks of the season, which is how this stuff works. You know, a couple of years ago, we had Leonard Fournette ready to, you know, mail the trophy to LSU in November, and then things changed. I mean, that's how things happen. This one, you know, Leonard Fournette fell off the radar, but clearly didn't happen with Tua, and he would have been a fine pick. But if there's a lesson to be learned, it's that none of these things are sealed until the final weekend and all the ballots are really in.
Yeah, I thought that the way he kind of closed the ton like a racehorse and ended up winning going away. Now, if we go back to the beginning of the season, man, there were a lot of great storylines, especially new coaches at some pretty substantial new places. So I'm going to ask you about a coach, a school, and if you would let us know what you thought heading in and how the season fared for that particular program. Start with Chip Kelly, who we know got two NFL shots, landed at UCLA. I thought he was dealing with a rebuild. So what did you think about Chip as UCLA coach on Labor Day and how he did season one?
I thought it was a home run hire of last year's cycle, and I still feel like that. I was surprised they were as bad as they were for most of the year, but by the end of the year, they'd gotten a lot better. And it didn't necessarily show in the final record, but it certainly feels like UCLA is on the uptick. But it was, you know, it was jarringly bad for, you know, the first half of the season or something like that. Were they 0-5 or 0-6 before they got their first win? Whatever it was,
right?
You began to wonder if they were where you were going to find a win, and I don't think any of us predicted that for Chip.
Let's next stay in league. When Arizona hired Herm Edwards, I said, man, I love his moral compass. I remember as a player, an NFL coach. But, man, he hadn't been in the college game since the late George H.W. Bush administration.
Right.
What did you think of his getting that gig initially? And, you know, the kind of season they ended up cranking out.
Well, I'm like, and by the way, hadn't been in coaching at all for about 10 years.
Right.
As a coach of the NFL. But I was like most people or many people. I mean, I thought it was a scratch your head higher, and I kind of panned it. And then I think during the course of the season, I became pretty impressed with what Herm Edwards did. Now, their final record, and obviously they still got a bowl game to play, but their final record wasn't maybe what you thought it could be. But I was really impressed with sort of how they handle things. One of the things they did that I thought not many people do was, if you just look at their offensive tempo, some weeks they played really fast, and some weeks they played really slow, and they did it based on what they thought the opponent's strengths and weaknesses were. And it was very NFL-like, I thought. So, look, I think the jury's still out largely, but you have to have been impressed, certainly based on what most people thought it was going to be like.
Yeah, easy guy to root for, too, as we continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. Here in Eugene, Willie Taggart became what we've been referring to as the first one-and-done duck left for Florida State. And Oregon, rather than go national or outside the program again, promoted, obviously, Mario Cristobal. Had a great win against the Huskies. Certainly some growing pains. What did you expect heading in, and what did you think overall of what you saw his first season?
I'm not sure I really knew what to expect. He obviously had done good work at Florida International, and his record as a head coach did not reflect maybe what his prowess is, because he basically built the program from scratch in a lot of ways. And, you know, you're not going to have a sterling record in that case. I guess, you know, the win of Washington was huge. I'm guessing that the Ducks look back on some things and they think, wow, we should have won this one, we could have won that one, things have got to get better in a hurry. It depends on what your standard is, I think. We're not that far off, Steve, from the point when we thought Oregon should be in the college football playoff, should be in the Pac-12 title chase every year. And if the standard is just to sort of get back to respectability and to get to bowl games, then this year was a great step towards that. But I think the jury, again, to use the same tired cliche, the jury's still out on whether or not Oregon is ready to take that next step back to sort of the cusp of elite. So I thought it was a good first year. I think Duck fans probably are ready to see them take some further steps, especially if Justin Herbert, as I know many people expect, returns for one more year.
Yeah, and a win against Michigan State obviously leaves a much better taste in the mouth than the game against Boise last year. Another hire, Rich Rod forced out in Tucson. Kevin Sumlin ousted at Texas A&M. He gets that job. You know, he had a Heisman hopeful in Khalil Tate. The Pac-12 media had them third in the South. There were injuries. They faltered early. Nice wins, Oregon and Cal. But they needed to win their last two, didn't, and are out. The season's over. So what did you think when he got the Wildcat job, and kind of in a retrospective looking back at their year?
I thought it was a really good hire. And now looking back at the year, I think it's underwhelming. So he'd be the first guy that of the guys we've talked about that I'm kind of not as high on coming out of the year as I was before. And that's not to say things won't turn around, but I think Khalil Tate was probably a little bit difficult to deal with. You sort of, behind the scenes, it sort of, or reading between the lines, I guess, better to put it, it feels like he did not want to be a running quarterback, such to the point that he really kind of wanted to stay in the pocket and kind of probably denied himself and Arizona some of what makes him so dangerous. And I think for part of the year there was a battle there. Clearly there are some whispers that he might decide to transfer anyway, which doesn't sound good. And whether that's Khalil Tate is the problem or whether it's Kevin Sumlin's the problem, it all sort of accrues to the head coach. So I think it was a tougher first year for Kevin Sumlin than most people would have expected.
And I think one consensus across the entire landscape was Scott Frost landing the job at Nebraska. I mean, everybody seemed to love that. The work he'd done here as a coordinator, then his last year at Central Florida, and certainly I'd say he took over a less than desirable situation for Mike Riley. The Huskers were bad last year, but then an 0-6 start, a 4-6 finish. Not 4-6 finish, 4-2 finish, sorry. How on board were you with Scott going back as a favorite son? And what'd you think of the Husker season?
Well, I think it was a good hire, and I still think it was a good hire. I don't think anybody expected them to start, you know, 0-6. And look, they didn't get help by the fact that they had the one game, the season opener ended up getting postponed and canceled, and they had to reschedule down the road because that would have been a win, I think. But it shows you how far they have to go. And by the way, that's how far they have to go to get back to winning bowls and competing in the lesser of the two Big Ten divisions, the Big Ten West. The goals at Nebraska, are to win the Big Ten West. They're to be and be better than Wisconsin and to be a college football playoff contender. And I do think that Husker fans have slowed a little bit on what they used. You know, there was a long time there, I think they thought they should be back to the mid-90s. I don't know that those days are coming back. And I think they may have figured that out. But even if the standard now is we should be year in, year out the best in the Big Ten West, feels like they got a long way to go there. I think Scott was the right hire. If anybody can do it, it's him. But it was a tough first year.
Yeah,
they were much better in the second half, though, Steve. You mentioned the 4-2, and it wasn't, you know, even in the two, I mean, they could have, would have, should have, they, you know, beaten Ohio State. I mean, that's one of the losses there. So they really turned a corner, I thought.
Yeah, they only lost by 5, and it was that Akron game that got, ended up getting canceled, not even postponed. Couple final thoughts for George Schroeder of USA Today. Jimbo Fisher took the contract, $75 million, to go to A&M. I've always felt Aggie football is one of those schools where the supporters might see them in a higher light than they really are. I mean, you look at their last 20 years, they've been to one major bowl, one top 10 finish. You know, they did get a Heisman with John Football, but he took over a really mediocre team, did win 8 games, obviously that historic win against LSU, but again, thoughts at first, him leaving Florida State for A&M, and evaluate kind of the season they actually had.
Well, you know, 8 wins is basically what Kevin Sumlin kept doing.
Right.
Let's be honest, and that wasn't good enough. Now, but I do think you saw signs that they're going to be pretty good. Look, I get why Aggies think that they should be a much bigger, better program than they've been traditionally, historically. You mean, you start with the fact that they've got all the resources in the world. They're not the Texas, they're not the flagship school in the state, but it's such a large state that they are the size of most state's flagships. They're bigger than most. I mean, there are 50,000 students go to that school. They've got all the resources that you need to play big-time college football, and they sit right smack in the middle of, you know, one of the nation's most fertile recruiting grounds. So I get why they think they should be this or that. And they've sort of, their thought was, we're only an elite coach away from getting this done. And now we're in the middle of the experiment to see if that's the case. They paid, as you mentioned, $75 million over 10 years. It's an amazing amount. So I thought for year one, I just thought they were sort of okay. Quite frankly, I do think Jimbo Fisher is going to make them very, very competitive in the SEC West. But the problem in the SEC West has not gone away, and its name is Nick Saban.
Yep.
And so even if you bumped up against Alabama, you're still bumping up against Alabama. I don't see them surpassing them anytime soon. But right now, they're still scrabbling with the rest of the teams in the SEC West.
Yeah, a converted two-pointer. They could have taking Clemson to overtime as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. But I think we overdid that. I mean, I think that was a tremendous comeback in a game that Clemson thought it had under control, and it could have, would have, should have been something really, really good, right? But we sort of thought to ourselves, oh, they're really coming on strong after that, and that was week 2. And then as it turned out, they were just sort of okay. You know, that was a great one-night performance at home. But it didn't mean that they were like, wow, light years ahead of where they were a year before.
Yeah, you could read too much into it. And lastly, how about a current hire? A guy we've discussed, Matt Wells, who took an 11-win Utah State team from Gary Anderson, won 10 games, slipped a bit, back to double digits this year. Now he takes over for Cliff Kingsbury at Tech, who never really upgraded that program. A lot of numbers. Wells has only been with a Power 5 team for a year when he was with Louisville 9 years ago. Well, what about his landing this gig?
I think it's a good hire, and it's a great move for Matt Wells to move into the Power 5 and in the Big 12. He's an Oklahoma native, understands the region, has obviously been a recruiter in Texas his entire coaching career. That's been one of his territories, and now he's in Texas. He runs an offense that's sort of similar to Cliff Kingsbury, but that's not saying a lot. A lot of people do that, right, around the country. It's not an air raid, so to speak, but it's a spread, and they do a lot of passing. The question is going to be, how's their defense going to be? But listen, he brought David Yost along, the former Oregon assistant who was his offensive coordinator, brought him along with him. That's a big deal. And he brought Keith Patterson, who's been his defensive coordinator, with him. So I think it was a pretty good hire by Texas Tech. They're just going to have to be better on the Jimmys and the Joes on that side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, first of all. That, by the way, Texas Tech's defensive problems are sort of the extreme end of the sort of the Big 12 plays no defense issue.
Yeah.
But they're not unlike sort of the top of the conference's problems with playing defense either. It's not that it's some unique problem Texas Tech. We see the same problems with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I would call it more a Big 12 issue than specifically the one in Lubbock.
And it all sort of feeds on itself. It has to do with big-time offenses, big-time quarterbacks, throwing the ball around the yard. The Pac-12's had this issue before, too, at various times. And then maybe some schools, in order to get competitive real fast, overemphasize the recruiting on the offensive end of the ball, and the defense suffers. And then it's also just poor recruiting on the defensive end by some people too. But then all of that feeds on itself, and then suddenly defensive recruits don't want to go. So, you know, I think Matt Wells and every other coach in the Big 12 has their work cut out for them to try to build better defenses.
All righty. We'll keep an eye on that. Folks, he is George Schroeder, online at usatoday.com, on Twitter at George Schroeder. George, always appreciate the time, and by the time we chat next week, there will have been bowl games in the rearview mirror, bowl games ahead of us, and many, many more things to talk about.
I'm excited about bowl games, for sure. And you know what I think about this too? You've got some people that will turn their nose up at watching those Saturday bowl games this week because they're minor bowls. This is all you got to tell them. Winter is coming.
The winter of our discontent. Don't rule out Arizona State, Fresno State, because I'm not either. All right. Always appreciate the time, George. Have a good one.
All right.